Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. No more tears. The shampoo label said it very clearly, so it's got to be true, right? The commercial on TV showed happy faces while a mom or a dad washed baby's hair. Everyone was happy. It sounded like a perfect product. Well, don't believe everything you read on labels or, for that matter, see on TV. It may have been described as, well, no more tears, but for many years it wasn't so in the Whitlock household. When my boys were toddlers and it came time to wash little boys' hair, it was a tearful time. It wasn't the fault of the shampoo. It wasn't that they hated bath time. They liked getting in the bathtub, playing with their bath toys. They just hated to get their hair wet. Just the mere mention of their hair needing to be washed would send them into a crying fit. It was their attitude, their approach, and the frustrating thing about it was, as a parent, I couldn't change their attitude or approach. So what is it that makes you cry most readily? Tears of joy? Tears of laughter, tears from tragedy, pain, sorrow. The answer is likely to differ greatly between person to person. It just seems there's so many, many human reasons for tears these days. Fear and illness and the unknown and terrorism and violence and grief, and the list goes on and on and on. Consequently, when the author of Revelation promised that there will come a time when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, I believe that is a very big promise, a promise we should take very seriously. Now, there are many kinds of tears. There are tears of a little child when a new toy breaks. Now, that may seem like small potatoes to adults. We're accustomed to shedding tears over what we think are much bigger issues than a broken toy. But in a world of a child, a broken toy can mean a broken fantasy, a broken dream. And even big people like you and me cry over broken dreams if they were dreams that were dearly cherished. The magnitude of any tragedy depends in no small part upon the perspective of the person who experiences it, our approach, our attitude. The Bible knows about tears. The psalmist groaned in Psalm 6, quote, "I am weary. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping." Ever cried yourself to sleep? Have you ever watered your pillow with tears? Boy, I sure have. The unnamed woman filled with grief in Luke 7 cried so much that she was able to wash Jesus' feet with her very own tears. When there is death, the Bible often mentions that tears were present too. Even Jesus wept. The Bible knows about tears. Tears are part of the human landscape. They're inescapable. They have been and they will continue to be. Solomon Rosenberg was a man who knew tears. He and his family were placed in one of those Nazi work camps where everyone who could no longer work was taken to the gas ovens. The first in his family to be gassed were his parents, who very soon broke under the inhumane conditions of long working hours, lack of food, miserable hygienic conditions.
Solomon knew that the next in his family would probably be their youngest son, David, who was slightly crippled. So each morning the family was separated for their work assignments, and at night the father would return with fear and trembling, wondering whether this was the day David would be taken. As he entered the barracks each night, his eyes would immediately scan the barracks, trying to find his family, his little boy David, his oldest boy Jacob, and then his wife, the mother of their children. One night, the thing he feared finally came. As he walked into the barracks, he could see none of his family, and he was frantic. And so his eyes searched again and again for the precious faces. And finally, he saw the figure of his oldest boy, Jacob, huddled over in the corner, crying and weeping. He hurried to Jacob and said, "Did they take David? Did they take David?" "Yes, Papa," came the answer. "They came to take David. They said he could no longer do his work." "Where's Mama? She is strong. Surely they didn't take her." And then Jacob looked at his father through tearful eyes and said, "Papa, when they came to take David, he was so afraid, so Mama said to him, 'Don't be afraid, David. I'll go with you and I'll hold you close.' And Mama went with David so he wouldn't be afraid." The good news, my friends, is that you and I never have to face difficult times alone. God is always with us, holding us close. The psalm reads, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." The Bible doesn't say when you become a Christian, your life's going to be such that, well, tears are going to be no more. God doesn't take the trials away. No, in fact, Jesus told Peter in our scripture from last week that his hands will be tied and he's going to be led to a place he doesn't want to be and he doesn't want to go. But God does promise to be a source of strength, to hold us close, to carry us through tough times. And we can depend upon God to be there for us, walking with us when we're afraid to face that valley that's full of deep, dark shadows. And sometimes God is represented through you and me, drying the tears of the hungry with actual food, wiping away the tears of a mom fleeing for her child's safety and for her own safety with diapers, driving asylum seekers to the airport or the bus station, giving them hope. So our assignment this day, find a way to be facial tissue. Kleenex, if you will, that can wipe away tears. And the best way to do that is to prevent the tears from coming in the first place. So how can we, as the body of Christ, as the palms of Jesus, bring healing to this hurting community, nation, and world? Do something. Don't just sit there and complain about our community, nation, and world. Do something. Walk with others in that valley of deep, dark shadows. Bring hope and change for others. I'm not going to give you a lot of specifics. I'm going to let you figure out the details. But if we're good at being a Kleenex, we'll never blow it. If you had told me as a
frustrated parent, there's going to be a time that's going to be tearless, a tearless bath time, a time when my boys would want to have their hair washed. I would have said, yeah, right. Get real. But it did change. And it changed overnight. In an instant, it changed. Instead of marketing the product for parents to buy for kids, advertising no more tears, they changed and marketed it to the kids on kids' TV shows. Tell your parents to buy this product because you're cool if you use it. Suddenly, overnight, their approach to having their hair washed changed. Their attitude changed. They started loving it, and because they loved it, there was no more tears during bath time for us. If we can change our approach from complainers to actual helpers, amazing things can happen. Real change can occur in people's life. You got the matrix already presented to you, things that are happening. You see, experience is not what happens to people. It's what we do with what happens to us. If this day causes you joy or pain for you, what are you going to do with that emotion? I guarantee you there's someone else in this room who needs to hear. I guarantee you there's someone else in this room who just needs someone to sit with them in silence. I guarantee you there's someone else in this room who may have a word of hope for you. This is God's profound promise to us. God, the Good Shepherd, will wipe away our tears. Thanks be to God. Amen.